Actually, this was the first film I saw.
You were the volunteers of the premiere. You were
yes.
The premiere.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Which now seems like centuries ago.
Really, right? Yes. You know, it's only a few days, but I had come in the night before, and it was my first film, and I successfully got on the wait list because I'm looking at it, and I said, oh, it's a horse. It says Dark Horse. I like horses, you know, so I said, okay, I'll try to get into this. And I was fortunate to be number six online. I'm going to leave this right here. I love the title because, of course, the horse's name was different. Could you just tell me a little bit about that choice? Because we know the title of, especially documentaries, could really make or break a successful audience viewing, or even, you know, getting picked up.
We had some truly terrible titles before we got that one. I actually suggested, I can't believe this now, but I actually suggested Slag Heap Stallion at one point, you know, in the mold of Slumdog Millionaire. But no, Dark Horse, I guess it just was a great fit. You know, is the expression Dark Horse common in America?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess it's the kind of, it's wrapped in, for me, is a... I love the name. I love the way it sounds. I love the fact that it's quite understated. But wrapped in there is the kind of notion of underdog from the get-go kind of thing, which I liked. I think we wanted to kind of set up, you know, in the sort of opening, Howard, the accountant, says, you know, it's elation when you can do something when no one gives you a chance. So we kind of, that was the sort of tenor of the whole film for us, really. So that seemed... Dark Horse just seemed a great kind of title.
I really love the idea because I do read into the titles. Mm. I try to anyway, but not always successfully. And the name of the horse was Dream.
Dream Alliance, yes.
Dream Alliance.
Named for the syndicate who were, it was their dream, and they were an alliance. So Jan had come up with the idea that the syndicate name could be Dream Alliance. Yes, but it sounds like an insurance company, so we couldn't call it. It wasn't time suggested as a title, but I just thought you would think, what? You sounded like, you know, if you've broken your leg, call the client's insurance.
Meanwhile, the horse's leg was quite the...
Yes, exactly. If your horse breaks his leg.
Everyone probably asked you how you got involved in the film, but, you know, is there an affinity towards some topics like this for you?
I guess I'm always looking. I mean, you spend your life looking. You know, I'm a freelance documentary maker, so I've spent my life looking for stories. And it's such a strange process because you can look and look and look, and you can never say exactly what you're looking for, but you know exactly when you see it. And I think, so you try to kind of look in kind of areas that seem interesting to you, that they might throw up something promising. So I guess my kind of starting point is I love to find something that will move me, that I find is kind of multi-layered, that is about perhaps the ways that somebody or a group of people are trying to express themselves, or find a way to kind of express their inner self, which is not perhaps what the world perceives around them. And so I'm kind of looking for things that I think, oh, that's going to be a wonderful vehicle for those kind of ideas. And I went out to the races on Boxing Day. You've heard this from The Thing, but just went out to Boxing Day races and saw this world. So I didn't really know anything about racing at all. And these beautiful horses and all this money being put on them rather than time for the session. And so that kind of idea that I've mentioned of a kind of rocky with a horse, and then that kind of slid down the track to looking at syndicates, which were quite new in racing at that time, and then this story came up, and it just knew that it was special. You know, they're rare stories like this, and I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely on tenterhooks, because of course the minute you've seen it, you think, well, there's no way it's going to be, you know, it'll be being made or whatever. And sure enough, when we called them, when producer Judith Dawson called them, they had been optioned by a film company. But we just said, look, we love it so much, we'll wait. And knowing that those things can sometimes, for complex reasons, fall through. So we just waited, and the producer would call Howard and to say, you know, we're still here, we haven't gone away, we still love it, we still want to make it. And then about a year later, he came back to us and said, the other one's fallen through, if you want to give it a go, the August.
That's the way a lot of these things start happening. You know, you think that that's never going to, you know, come up, and then all of a sudden, you know, things start falling into place.
Yes, yes.
And of course, other things start happening as well.
Yes.
There's always the rocky road continues. But from that moment, then the challenge is, how do you make this really interesting as a documentary? You know, because I was so excited about it. When I go and I talk to a lot of my film festival friends, you know, a lot of programmers at film festivals were in town. I said, you got to get this film. They go, well, describe it. And I said, well, it's like Waking Ned Divine meets Mr. Ed.
That's, I'm going to borrow that. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quirky characters,
yeah.
One after the other, and the cutting to create the story was brilliant.
Oh, great. Well, I had a great editor too. And it's a real, you know, these things are a real collaboration, because when you tell a past tense story, you know, the edit is tough. Because it's a kind of, you know, when you're making an observational film, you have moments when a scene will unfold. With past tense film, every minute, every day is a blank canvas. Every minute has to be created from this piece of material and that piece of material and this interview. And if you spend quite a lot of time, and obviously therefore money, filming the interviews beautifully, you're just conscious, you know, inside, that you are literally sort of burning the budget, because everything they say will have to be illustrated. You know, I mean, you'll use some of them in vision, but you'll cover an awful lot of them. So it really is a kind of, it's a real, you know, it's a nice 20-week edit, and it was intense. We had our foot in the gas the whole time.
And you created the character of Dream.
Yes, that was one. That was one of the things on our first day in the edit. We sat there and thought, how do we make the horse a character? And I, in preparation, I had watched every horse film. I have seen them all: Black Stallion, Seabiscuit,
Secretariat.
Secretariat, exactly.
I know, because I used to read all the books about the racehorses when I was young. I knew all the horse racehorses and their bloodlines, everything.
Yes, and it's interesting. I think when you make a feature doc, you're kind of, because it's going to be on the big screen, which is the joy of it. It's such a wonderful kind of, such a wonderful medium to make stories for, because it's such a kind of, you know, it sounds silly, we're in a film festival, it's such an obvious thing to say, but it is, you never get over the excitement of watching the room go dark. It absolutely just makes my hair stand on end, and you just think, and listening to people watch a movie in the dark together is kind of amazing thrill and scary. You're listening for every sigh or cough or rustle. Are they bored?
No, people were crying.
Really?
I was crying.
Oh, wow.
You know, around me, everyone was really enjoying the film.
It was a really interesting thing when we kind of started down the road, that part of the discussion with, you know, was made with Film 4 and the BFI, and they're great backers, you know, and they have, you know, interrogate the idea in a really interesting, very supportive way and have really, really interesting conversations about it. And one of the things we talked about a lot was, did the characters... We brought back some film of the characters and showed them the snakes. They said, you know, they look amazing. And do you think they have the ability to describe their own journey? It's an interesting phenomenon, because you're trying to make people invest in them as much as they would characters in a narrative. But they're in a documentary. So the things the script writer would write to express their character, in some way you need the character to help you do themselves. They need to be able to kind of articulate what it means to them. And of course, thank goodness they were Welsh. Welsh people have the gift of language. I have to say, because I've been doing documentaries for a while now, I am absolutely able to prove that. I believe I am my own scientific study, that there are parts of a country you can go to where they speak beautifully. In England, it would be Liverpool and Wales, possibly Glasgow. And it's just interesting. And I'm sure it's because of where the bloods come from. You know, this would be some Irish, or it's from the countries where probably storytelling and talk and banter is part of the culture.
It's lyrical.
Yes, yes.
And you're right, and it's oral history.
Yes.
Being passed down.
And Wales is like, Wales is the equivalent of, you know, those sort of southern Italian cities where you see men sitting outside the bars and their hand, you know, they're all telling each other these intricate stories with their hands going, making all these wonderful gestures while they talk in Greece. And Wales has that. Funny enough, Stella, who won the grant at the Women in Film, she said to me, she came to see the film after, and she said, you know, these Welsh people, they're Greeks. And it's true, they do have that kind of openness and the sort of argumentativeness and the kind of passion. It does seem quite southern European.
And they stay there. I mean, where else are they going to go?
Yes.
But, you know, but they are a community. They are a family.
Yes. I mean, Howard... all of them had sort of, you know, built himself a successful career, and he could have moved away, but that's what they love. They love the community, and they love going up to the Working Men's Club and having a drink, and I think it's where that community is incredibly powerful for them. When you say to somebody from Kevin Forest, the village, are you from Kevin Forest? They'll say, oh no. And you'll say, oh, thinking they're going to say Nottingham or Bristol or London, and they go, oh no, 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 not from here, not from here at all. I'm from the next village down the valley. So there's a real sense of each community is totally has its own identity, which is charming. Oh no, I'm from the next village.
You were telling me about the children screening. What kind of questions did they have that were different from the audience questions you would normally get from an adult screening?
They were just sort of lovely. They were kind of invested, like, had we been to see the horse and how was it?
That was going to be my next question.
Yes, yes. They were just, and so some of them were from a video production class, so some of it was kind of quite nuts and bolts, how we did it kind of thing. Yeah, it was just lovely. They were just, because I think it must be quite bizarre for them in a way, you know, they're kind of in a school afternoon, school morning, they get to kind of sit and watch this life in a village thousands of miles away. They were so well mannered, kind of interested, as American kids usually are. I think teachers in Britain always wish that British kids would be more like American kids, because they always seem kind of interested and enthusiastic.
So how is Dream?
Dream is splendid. He's quite enigmatic in his way. He stands quite solemn. He looks right at you. I don't know many horses, so I don't have much to compare it to, but I don't think many horses do that, like, literally, to the point that you're kind of looking over your shoulder thinking, is he looking at something behind me? And he's quite nice and plump, doing a lot of doing nothing, eating. He is in a beautiful part of the world, Somerset, in England, which is very kind of rural and not far from the sea. So I think he's living a life of Riley. He's a happy cat.
He did his job.
I think somehow he knows he did his job. He served them well. And then he said, that's enough now. I will stop.
And I love the way it was told. You know, in your way, in the film. And using the elements and using the details must have been such a challenge, especially we talked about how to make horse racing interesting.
Yes, because horse racing, oh my goodness, on television is literally the kiss of death. I mean, it's so boring. It's kind of just a bunch of little brown things coming towards you on a long lens. They never seem to go faster, one faster than another. And just to me, it's kind of Sunday afternoons, raining, and you pass a window of a bookies and there's horse racing on. So that was one of the things that kind of made me scared, was how to kind of take it out of that world. And of course, horse racing is an exciting world. It's just, some, you know, somehow on telly, it always seemed quite...
Right, you have to be in it.
You have to sort of know what's going on. And even when you go to the races, it's a little bit impenetrable if you don't know anything about the horses running or you sort of... So all of that. And also trying to say to people, it's not about racing, that this story happens through the world of racing, but it's not about racing, it's about the people and their journey.
One of my favourite scenes is the woman in the beauty parlour.
Yes.
Reading in racing form. You know, so those are very important little Easter eggs, little treasures,
yes.
You know, that you don't really think about, you know, it's not really that important, but it adds to it. It's like a secret ingredient, and it adds
that's
to the film.
That's such a lovely way of putting it. I'm going to remember that. That's a great way of putting what you're trying to kind of do in suggesting the tale Easter eggs. That's going in my lexicon now.
Without even doing it heavy-handedly, you know? It's just like, just there. And it, I love it. I'm going, oh my God, this is great. You know, some of these things I'm going to write down for myself. Remember these things. Get a lot of inspiration.
The poor woman under the dryer, because of course when you film it always takes longer than anyone thinks. When she came out from under the dryer, she didn't have curly hair at all. When she came out from under the dryer, she had these enormous... these enormous curls, because we had to leave her under the dryer while we did various takes because it was a moving shot. Poor woman, she said, oh my goodness, my husband is going to die like this.
But for them, it was an adventure.
We just couldn't have asked for more. It was just, they were just so in the spirit of it. And we knew we wanted to do it in the village, and we knew we didn't want to use professional extras, but whether people want to take part or think it's a good fun. And they took part, but they were so patient and sort of, they just thought it was a hoot, and people would stop you in the street and say, oh, you filmed my granny yesterday, and where was that? No, she was in her dressing gown putting out the washing, and you said, can I film you? And it just became a lovely kind of community thing.
You probably have a lot of outtakes and behind the scenes.
Yes, fair amount. It did, probably the most riotous occasion was in the Working Men's Club when we spent a whole day there doing various races that go through the film. And what's extraordinary is if you put a group of men in front of a race and put a pint in their hand, they completely go back into the moment. They're absolutely watching it, transfixed, as if it was back on the day it was happening. But they did clock fairly quickly that for continuity, we needed to keep their glasses full. So we had an enormous bar bill that day. By the end of the day, things were a bit right. It was funny, funny, funny.
Well, I think you have a runaway winner.
Oh, I hope so. Well, just to get here, I have to say, feels like the racing metaphor feels like kind of racing past the post, because it's just, you know, it's a kind of small film from England about a piece of Britain. So to have it kind of come and play here, and I was so particularly interested to take it to Salt Lake City to see, because obviously here, in a way, you've got a lovely audience of people who want to come and see films and be some industry people as well, but there it was would be sort of cold to the American public, as it were, and I really was keen to know if it would have some resonance for them, you know, if it felt, and they were kind of a lovely audience, and so fingers crossed that meant that it is a story that can kind of translate over here. I hope so.
Absolutely,
I hope it's
universal.
That's what we hoped all the time. Yes. We were making it, that it would feel like a story that could have happened in a small town in America. You know, it's a story that could have come out of Park City, former mining town. Oh, well, on IndieWire, I did little interviews with people coming here, and in mine I said Harlan County USA is my favourite film, which it is. I watch it probably twice a year just because it just inspires me. I think it's such a testament to kind of staying with a story just to the bitter end.
And I congratulate you, really. Oh, I hope
you
know so much, you know, that you are in the winner's circle.
I'm just dead happy to be here. We all are. It's just fantastic. And it's been a blast. It's a great, great festival.
It's got amazing. Great buzz.
Yeah.
Everyone, I tell everyone that I see, and anyone else who said that they had seen it, loved it.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And I know you'll probably hear from many film festivals because they think it would be a wonderful film for their audiences.
Oh, great. Oh, well, I hope so.
I want to hear more about it. Like, what happens if you get if you get picked up?
Yes, yes. Yes,
and the sequel.
Crossed. And the sequel, Dark Horse 2, exactly.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Coming
yes,
soon.
Yeah, Fall's coming in April.
Oh, my God. I want to be in on it.
I know, I know. I so hope it proves a success for Jan. I really do.
Louise, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been great fun.